The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 28, verses 11 to 14. It is page 236 in the New Testament. The today's words are Acts chapter 28, verses 11 to 14. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the new year, the year 2018. And the words of verse 11 of today's text, which God has prepared for us of today, 2,000 years ago, are as follows. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. 3 months passed after Paul arrived at Melite Island due to the disaster at sea. The time that Paul ran into shipwreck at that island was when the winter of the prior year was starting. And the time of today's text is 3 months after that, the spring of the following year. Paul had greeted a new year like us while he was staying at Melite Island. Therefore, we come to ask the same question which we asked during the midnight service on the New Year's Day 6 days ago to Paul, who has greeted the new year at Melite Island. For Paul, greeting a new year at Melite Island was the first and the last time in his life. In that sense, greeting the new year at Melite Island, which was completely unexpected and outside of his plan, must have stirred some unusual feelings in Paul. But did Paul's lifespan become longer because Paul had greeted a very meaningful new year at Melite Island? No, that was not the case. The lifespan of Paul, who greeted the new year at Melite Island, became shorter by the 3 months that he spent on that island. Paul lived at Melite Island for 3 months, but when we think about it, he had died on that island for the span of those 3 months. Paul breathe each second in order to live like us. But Paul also was merely an Enos who continuously died by each breath he took. While Paul stayed at Melite Island, he cured sick persons who continuously came to him with the power of the Lord. But Paul himself continued to suffer from incurable sickness. This time was about 61 AD, and it is estimated that Paul was about 53 years of age. Paul, who had lived much beyond the average life expectancy of the time, was old and suffering from incurable disease. Then he created a new year at Melite Island. A new year sounds good in words, but Paul, who was old and sick, had come closer to his death by the span of those 3 months. How could any new thing be created within him? And how could the new year that he greeted be a new year? If Paul was alone, then the new year he greeted at Melite Island would simply be a new year according to a calendar. But Paul was not alone. God was with Paul. And therefore, although he was old and was suffering from illness, the new year that he greeted for the first time in Melite Island in his life was truly a brilliant new year. Let's take a look at verse 11 again. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. The reason that Paul, whose final destination was Rome, had shipwrecked on Melite Island was because the Alexandrian ship on which he was on board became swept up in the deadly gale, northeaster, for no less than 14 days and became shipwrecked at sea near Melite Island. And he stayed on that island for 3 months until winter travel restrictions and sailing in the Mediterranean Sea came to an end. In order for Paul, who greeted the new year, to sail to Rome when the travel restriction lifted, a new ship was needed. The people who came on Melite Island with Paul after the shipwreck totaled 276 persons, including Paul. For all of them to sail together, a big ship like the Alexandrian ship that became shipwrecked was needed. Surprisingly, there was another Alexandrian ship that had wintered in the island, a Melite Island. That it was from Alexandria, like the ship that had shipwrecked, tells us that this vessel also was one of the huge cargo ships that ferried grains from Egypt to Alexandria to Rome. Today's text, in order to distinguish the Alexandrian ship which was anchored at the Melite Island from the Alexandrian ship that had shipwrecked, specifies that the figurehead that decorated the ship's bow was Dioskuroi. The Greek noun Dioskuroi means twin brothers and refers to the twin sons of Zeus of Greek myth, Castor and Pollux. In other words, that the both ends of that ship were decorated with the figures of Castor and Pollux. At the time, sailors believed that zodiac sign of Gemini, the figure of twins, guaranteed a safe passage. And this decoration originated from such belief. But what's important is that this vessel had wintered in the island. The prior Alexandrian ship that Paul and his party was on took winter travel restrictions lightly and undertook a risky journey and became stranded due to the aftermath of the deadly northeaster gale. The passengers ended up in a disaster at sea. But this other Alexandrian ship, while sailing the Mediterranean Sea, made a call at Melite Island when the season of travel restriction approached. Thanks to this, the ship was already at Melite Island when the Paul's party ran into a disaster at sea near Melite Island. Even before Paul set his foot on Melite Island, God had already prepared another Alexandrian ship at that island for Paul, who was to leave the island 3 months later. The people who constructed the vessel decorated the bow of the ship with the figurehead of the twin sons of Zeus. But in actuality, the ship was an instrument of God prepared for Paul. Like the motto of our church for this year, God had planted Paul with all of his heart and soul. As I said during the midnight service for the new year, the motto for our church for this year is with all my heart and my soul, based on Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 41. At the end of 6 BC, the countdown of the destruction of Jerusalem began as the army of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylonian Empire, surrounded Jerusalem. Although the country was about to be destroyed due to the invasion of a powerful foreign country, there was no leader who stepped up to take responsibility. People only wanted to listen to what they wanted to hear and not to the true words of God. As a result, the false cries of false prophets about a false victory misled people even more. And Prophet Jeremiah, who foretold the destruction of Jerusalem in obedience to God's words, earned the wrath of the king and was thrown into jail. The history of Jerusalem, which was mighty under the King David, seemed to come to an end. But this was not the will of God. To Jeremiah, who was shut up in prison in the midst of darkness and despair of history, the words of God came to him. This is from Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 37 to 41. I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of hearts and action, so that they will always fear me, and that all will then go well for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. The reason God allowed the destruction of Jerusalem was not to abandon the people of Israel who had turned their backs on him, but to embrace them again as his people. The reason that God allowed the people of Israel to be trampled under the feet of Babylonian horses was to restore them as people of faith. The reason that God allowed the people of Israel to be dragged away as captives to Babylonia was to replant them as people of the covenant. And when their hearts turned to God and they became established in Him, God called them and replanted them as He promised. He did not simply just replant them, but newly planted them with all his heart and soul. In order to give them eternal life, he assuredly planted them completely anew with all his heart and soul to the extent of making his only son an offering on the cross. Therefore, the land which God mentioned in his promise that he will assuredly plant them in this land with all his heart and soul does not merely indicate the land of Canaan where they lived. It was a promise that he would assuredly plant his people with all his heart and soul in the eternal gospel of God. In his eternal life and love, and in his eternal kingdom. Because God is that kind of God, even before the feet of Paul, who ran into a disaster at sea, even touched Melite Island, God had prepared another Alexandrian vessel in waiting for Paul, who was to leave the island in 3 months. This is the extent to which God planted Paul with all his heart and soul. It was so because Paul was God's Hyperetus and Martus. And if we were to put this in the expression of the New Year's midnight service, it was because Paul was God's countermeasure to restore this world. Paul, who had trampled on the church, offered his life to God as a living sacrifice in all circumstances in order to live as God's countermeasure his whole life after he became called on his way to Damascus. It was only too natural that God would assuredly plan Paul, who was living his life as God's countermeasure, with all his heart and soul. The land at which God assuredly planted him with all his heart and soul meant, in the first instance, all of the past hours which Paul had lived up to that point. The secondary meaning of the land was the time he was facing at present. And the third layer of meaning of that land was the future hours that he had to live through until he stood at the court of the emperor as God's countermeasure. That God had prepared ahead of time another Alexandrian ship in Melite Island for Paul, who was to leave 3 months later, even before his feet touched that island, meant that God had planted Paul in that future with all his heart and soul. But this was not all of it. For Paul, the ultimate meaning of that land in which God was to assuredly plant him was eternity that transcends time and space. God assuredly planted Paul, who suffered beheading in Rome as God's countermeasure, as an eternal apostle forever. So Paul, even to this day, lives on eternally among us in midst of God's eternal words. Paul, who greeted the new year at Melite Island, in comparison to 3 months ago when the disaster struck, had aged more by 3 months. Paul's body, which has suffered from sickness and was at an age which went much beyond the average life expectancy of people of that time, became weaker by 3 months. He greeted a new year at Melite Island, but there was nothing new within Paul, who had gone closer to his death by 3 months. But God was with Paul. Because God, who assuredly planted Paul with all his heart and his soul in the past, because God, who assuredly was planting Paul with all his heart and soul in the present, because God, who assuredly will plant Paul with all his heart and soul in the future, because God, who assuredly will plant Paul in eternity, transcending time and place, was with Paul. Although he was old and weak, he greeted a brilliant new year, even at Melite Island, where he had landed after disaster at sea. And that God is also telling us, as we offer our 2018 New Year service, that assuredly he will plant us in this land with all his heart and soul. I beg for your understanding in speaking about myself for a little bit. From several months ago, I have been suffering from rheumatism. Before the diagnosis of rheumatism was confirmed, I could not sleep at night because of pains in my shoulders, wrists, knees, and ankles. During Sunday services, as I preached, standing for 30 minutes to deliver a sermon became so painful that I had a high chair prepared at the back of me at all times so that if it became necessary, I could preach sitting down. Fortunately, recently the hospital was able to prescribe me a medicine which could alleviate my symptoms so that I was able to escape extreme pain. But as a result, my face became swollen throughout the day. The many members who are not aware of my conditions have commented that my face and complexion look better. It's really tough living all day with a swollen face that does not move the way I want. But what would happen if I were to stop taking the medicine? The swelling of my face would go away, but the symptoms of rheumatism would get worse. And wouldn't I suffer from even more severe pain as the days go by? If I believe the words of the doctor that my rheumatism can be cured, shouldn't I faithfully keep taking the medicine every day, even if I have to live with a swollen face with discomfort for some time? And if I do that, wouldn't I, at some point, surely arrive at a new day when I would be completely free of rheumatism and the swelling of the face? We have nothing that can become new, nothing that has become new. But even so, God has given us 2018 as a new year and gave us a promise through his word. Assuredly, I will plant you in this land with all my heart and soul. That God says he will plant us in this land means that he will plant on you our families, our workplaces, the churches of this land, our society, and this age. If we really believe this promise of God, we must first become the countermeasure of God for this world and this age, like Paul. If we say that we believe in God, but refuse to become his countermeasure in order to live as we please, then it is the same as me refusing to take the medicine for rheumatism in order to get rid of the swelling of my face. If we live this way, a year and a day, which is new, the true meaning of that word will always be impossible, since we are beings who grow closer to death as we change calendars each year. But even if we're people of no significance, if we give our lives to God as a living sacrifice in order to live as God's countermeasures, like Paul, God will use us as his pathways to assuredly newly plant our families, our workplaces, the churches of this land, and our society with all his heart and soul. And as a result, our 2018 will rise up to a new year, a new day. Personally, I plan to offer myself as a living sacrifice to become the countermeasure of God, to prepare for the joint pastorship, which is to become effective at our church after my retirement. Last year, we selected 4 pastors as co-pastors who will succeed me. During the remaining time of my tenure, we have decided to operate the church centered on these 4 pastors so that they can perform their duties of the offices of co-pastors of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church without a problem after my retirement. I plan to have them go before me, and I plan to become the bottom branch that supports them. We have learned in our New Believers class that the serving and services of Christians ultimately mean becoming a bottom branch. In all trees of this world which God has created, the older and bigger a branch gets, it becomes a bottom branch. The top part of the tree is always reserved for the new and young branches. Unlike the organizations of men, where persons of great and high statures take up a high position and which end up crumbling under their weights, the tree never loses harmony and balance in all circumstances. The reason for this is that the larger and thicker branches all become bottom branches and sturdily support the tree. I have said that a church must also become like a tree. The longer a member has attended a church, he or she must become a strong bottom branch who is unseen in order for the new branches of life to become continuously connected and form a true church. Therefore, I have accepted the task of becoming the bottom branch for our co-pastors who will succeed me as my final calling at 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. The external activities of the church are already being managed with Minister Kim Young-jun, who has been selected to oversee such activities as a center. For your information, Minister Kim, who was born in 1972, is expected to receive ordination this fall. The church school has been operating with Pastor Lee Young-nan at the center. Pastor Lee has been selected to oversee the church school from December 1st of last year. And from January 1st of this year, all district pastoral and administrative activities have been carried out with the Pastor Kim Kwang-ok, who has been selected to oversee all pastoral and administrative activities at the center. And from now on, Pastor Kim will also oversee the meetings of the Standing Committee. And Pastor Chung An-jo, who will be in charge of spiritual development, have started preaching at early morning services 4 times a week from Tuesday to Friday from January 1st this year. And Pastor Jung will also be responsible for and guide district Bible studies and adult retreats. As for Sunday sermons, during the first half of the year until the end of June, Pastor Jung and I will each preach 2 sermons. From this month, I will preach on each first Sunday and the third Sunday. Pastor Chung will preach on the 2nd Sundays and the 4th Sundays. And when there is a 5th Sunday in a month, Pastor Kim Kwang-ok, who is in charge of the pastoral administrative activities, will preach. Starting from July, when the second half of the year begins, I will preach only once a month on 3rd Sundays. Pastor Kim Kwang-ok will preach on 1st Sundays, and Pastor Chung An-jo will preach on the 2nd and 4th Sundays of the month, like the first half of the year. When there is a 5th Sunday, Pastor Young-nan and Minister Kim Young-jun will take turns at preaching. After my retirement, according to the decision of the Pastor Invitation Committee, Pastor Chung An-jo will preach 3 times from 1st Sunday to 3rd Sunday of each month. Pastor Kim Kwang-ok will preach the 4 Sundays, And Pastor Young Nan and Minister Kim Young Jun will take turns in preaching the fifth Sunday sermons. From now, I plan to support them as much as I can as a bottom branch so that they can serve as co-pastors of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church to the best of their abilities. I ask that the congregation members also pray for them and become their co-workers. I am confident that God, who has opened a new way of a joint pastorship at our church, which has received a calling to make way for the future of the Korean church, will plant these four pastors whom he has raised up at this place, Yanghwa-jin, at the Korean church, the sage, the coming future, assuredly with all his heart and soul. Do you believe that God, who planted Paul assuredly with all his heart and soul, to the extent of having a vessel ready for Paul, who was to leave for Rome 3 months later, even before his feet reached Melite Island, is our God? That God has given us a new chance, the year 2018, and is promising us that he will assuredly plant us in this land with all his heart and soul. Let us offer our lives as a living sacrifice to that God during this 1 year. Let us live all through this 1 year as the countermeasure of God for this world. God will use us as pathways and will assuredly newly plant our families with all his heart and soul. God will assuredly newly plant our workplaces with all his heart and soul. God will assuredly newly plant the churches of this land with all his heart and soul. God will assuredly newly plant our society with all his heart and soul. There is nothing that is new about us who have come nearer to our death. But due to the grace of God, who will assuredly plant us with all his heart and soul, our 2018 will be weaved with brilliant new year, a new day, every day. Let us pray. Even before Paul's feet reached Melite Island, you had prepared another Alexandrian vessel in waiting for him, who was to leave that island for Rome 3 months later. We thank you that you, who had planted Paul with all your heart and soul to such an extent, is our God, transcending 2,000 years of time and space. We thank you that God is now with us. Thank you that you have given us a new chance, the year 2018, and is promising us that assuredly you will plant us in this land with all your heart and soul. There is nothing new in us who has come closer to our death by 1 year, and there is nothing new in the circumstances that surround us. But believing in your promise that you will assuredly plant us, we step confidently into 2018. During this 1 year, allow us to live as your countermeasure for this world in all circumstances. Allow us the eyes to discover yet another Alexandrian ship which you had prepared for us to be in waiting for each of us in 2018. And so may our 2018, in which all of us get on board on that other Alexandrian ship, become weaved with a new day, a new year, which is more brilliant than any other year. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.